This is the Aflac Insurance Inside High School Sports Show, highlighting all of Section 3, interviewing the greatest local coaches and athletes. Brought to you by SummitCars.com, broadcasting in the ESPN studios. Here's your host, Mike Bristol, and Eagle Newspaper's Phil Blackwell.
All right, what's up, Philly? How are you, buddy?
Oh, it's the fall season, which means things happen at such a rapid pace and at such a... So much goes on that you're just trying to reset every single day. I mean, with 10 different sports going on, add to it the transition from summer to fall. Add to it rescheduling that takes place because football games last night got rescheduled or pushed back or resumed, stopped and then resumed. And you've got the idea of how crazy the fall season is. But we'll try to bring it all together in this next hour.
So a great program for you. Phil and I will get to the top 10 that's produced each and every week by Phil. And by the way, you can check out InsideHighSchoolSports.com's new website that's up and rolling. And but before we get going, our Aflac Spotlight interview, members of the Bishop Grimes girls soccer team. A season ago, the Bishop Grimes girls soccer team won all four games. This year, the Cobras have already exceeded that total, and the fact that it won its first seven games created plenty of notice. Think about this. At a number two state ranking before Grimes lost to Lafayette this week, but still quite a turnaround. The Cobras captains are going to be here. Julia Nod, juniors, Kerry Wilkinson and a couple others will be here in studio.
I mean, the thing with Grimes was that they had a new coach with Jerry Perano last season, and they struggled big time. Four wins, I think they lost 10 games.
Yep.
To have, with a very young roster that only has a couple of seniors, already seven victories in a row to start the season is way above people's expectations for this program. And to be number two in the state, I mean, even Coach Perano probably admitted, we're probably not number two in the state. But nonetheless, to be 7-1 midway through the season after the struggles of a season ago, pretty remarkable stuff on the part of Grimes. Whether they can keep it up in the second half of the regular season remains to be seen, but it should be celebrated what they've accomplished so far.
Our SummitCars.com spotlight interview with members of the Fabius Pompey boys soccer team. You know, the tradition of winning boys soccer at Fabius Pompey is a deep one. Think about this. 16 sectional titles, second most behind FM's 24, so as I was thinking of FM. But this could be a really special season for the Velcans, who roared out to an 8-0 start, the number two in the state Class D rankings. And think about this. It's a long, elusive state title possible, Phil. We'll chat with Matt Nooner as well as his captains, Q and Troutman, Jameson Andrews, Dylan Fredenberg, and Evan Wagner. All will be here in studio with the Fabius Pompey boys soccer team.
Great program. I mean, Fabius Pompey, they're used to winning, and they're used to playing deep into October and into November, maybe with winning seasons. And this could be something special. I mean, they play mostly Class C teams in the OHSL Patriot Division. And what they've shown this season is a very potent attack. They've won nine straight games. They were made 9-0 yesterday by being Faith Heritage 4-0. And this is a team that has certainly the capability of not just a sectional title, but going deeper than that. And they do so because, like I said, they play Class C teams all season, then they dip down to Class D. And I think some of the competition here is pretty tough. Programs like Tully, Bishop Ludden, MPH, Bishop Grimes. It's not easy to get through the league that Fabius Pompey plays in, and I think it'll prepare them very well for the postseason, and it seems like they've got all the pieces to make not just a sectional run, but maybe a state run as well.
Closing the midway point here of the Section 3 football regular season, let's talk about Class AA race here, which involves everyone still trying to catch CNS, who had really no trouble winning its first three games, but now tough road games await the North Stars. First, a trip to 3-0 FM, and a trip to West Genesee, which we'll talk about that, who was its best team in years and already has recorded a pair of shutouts. So Corcoran as well here should also be 3-0, but because it used an ineligible player in its first two games, the Cougars would likely have to forfeit them. So we'll talk about that. Still, they're not any league games, so Corcoran not beaten on the field is still AA1 division favorites, have already defeated Nottingham after the Bulldogs started 2-0. So I actually went out and visited Coach Wheeler with Nottingham a couple weeks ago and checked out his football team. So look really good. But Phil, let's get to a lot of this stuff. First of all, the ineligible players, or what happened in that situation?
There was a player last season for Corcoran that was ineligible because he was ejected in the sectional semifinal game against CNS. That suspension was supposed to carry over into the first game of this season, but it wasn't. For some, he played in that game, and then the one that followed, And because he was technically ineligible in both those games, they had to forfeit those two games, even though they won them, Corcoran. Now, that doesn't, they weren't league games, so they're still in Class AA one division, probably still the favorites, because them, and probably in Liverpool, and we'll see about that, because Liverpool and CBA, they're one of those games yesterday that was stopped at 7-7, resumed right now as we speak, Liverpool and CBA, and that's AA one. Then turn to AA two, the big game is at noon. CNS and FM were supposed to play last night. They moved that game to today to avoid all the bad weather. It's a critical test for the North Stars. They haven't really been pushed yet. The Hornets have Mitch Seabury back, and their offense should, and their running game is very strong. And their defense, well, they got a little beat up by Utica Proctor last week, but they managed to win that game anyway. And don't forget West Tennessee. They've got to play at Proctor this afternoon. If they win that game, their home game with CNS next Friday will be their biggest home game in years. I mean, it will be a big deal. And this one's pretty important this afternoon to see if CNS gets pushed by the Hornets.
Skinny has gone from a state Class C title to a 3-0 start in the top of the Class B West Division. Its offense, have not missed much of a beat here. It's as the defense, perhaps even better than 2017, so think about that. Who leads in B East might come down to last night's game between Kaz and VVS. We'll talk about that, Phil and I. Oneida also 3-0 going in a crucial game against Chittenango, which we'll talk about that game and who now is 4-0. Then there's Class A, where Whitesboro is flat in its opposition so far, so the Indians, as well as Indian River. But those two teams don't meet, actually, in the regular season, so both of them could go 7-0, which, when you start looking at how it's set up in the divisions, Phil and I will get to that a little bit, because those two teams should be playing each other, but aren't, during the regular season. Whitesboro does not have to face the likes of ESM and Carthage, both 2-1 at this point. We'll talk about who's 3-1 right now. So both of those knocked off sets with the Warriors. So, Phil, let's first of all get to last night's big showdown, Cazenovia and VVS.
Well, they did get that game in, and VVS won on the road, 14-6 at Cazenovia. Their defense shut out the Lakers throughout the last three quarters. An impressive performance by by the Red Devils. And they're trying to get their first sectional title since the early 1990s. But Oneida is also 4-0. The Indians got a last-second touchdown to beat Chittenango, and now they're also 4-0. Those two rivals, VVS and Oneida, finished the regular season with each other. It could amount to a league championship game. And Cazenovia isn't quite the powerhouse team they've been the last few years. Even when they were winning games the first couple of weeks, it wasn't like they were running people over the way they have in recent years. Still 3-1 Cazenovia, and still in good playoff position. Looking at B East, on the other hand, or B West, Skinny Atlas just looks unstoppable on offense. They play Bishop Ludden later this afternoon, one of those rescheduled games. But right behind them in the standings is Marcellus, who's 3-1 after their loss to Skinny Atlas. They've won three straight. And West Hill, who went to Homer last night and beat the Trojans 20-19, stopping a two-point conversion in the last couple of minutes after Homer was nearly erased a deficit. Biggest win for West Hill in a long time for that program, as their running back, Welch, ran over 200 yards as well. Looking at Class A, it seems like it's Whitesboro, Indian River, and then everyone else. A big gap, because teams like ESM, they lost at home last night to Auburn 20-6. Maybe Auburn's on their way up a little bit, but it's still Whitesboro and Indian River, who have not really faced serious tests yet among the A teams.
When Phil and I bounce back here after a quick break, we're talking Class C football. Talk Utica, Notre Dame. We'll get to Mount Markham, Holland, Patton. We'll do a little Class D with Onondaga, Herkimer, and Beaver River, and a lot more coming up in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back. This is, what is it, Phil? The Aflac Insurance Inside High School Sports Show. We're broadcasting what? Brought to you by SummitCars.com.
This is the Aflac Insurance Inside High School Sports Show, brought to you by SummitCars.com.
All right, Mike Bristol, Phil Blackwell back on it. And as you mentioned, talking Class C, Class D, so let's get right to it, Phil. The big thing that I wanted to address here is you look at, you know, General Brown, Canastota, fast starts in Class C football. Then there's Utica, Notre Dame coming off a last-minute win over Mount Markham. Plus upstarts, Lowville and Holland Patton having their best starts in years. A lot of good stuff here in Class C.
And there was a pretty good game last night in Class C. As Canastota faced their toughest game yet, Mount Markham again gave them a real battle. But the Raiders pulled it out 32-27 and moved to 4-0, as did Lowville, who blanked Southern Hills 26-0. So these are two teams that are emerging as top sides, along with you know, Holland Patton off to that great start that they've had. In fact, Holland Patton went to Holland Patton very impressively against the Class D team Onondaga went to Onondaga and beat the Tigers 28-16. So the Golden Knights are 4-0 as well, and yet they all changed General Brown, who have buried their first three opponents, and they have a slightly tougher game perhaps today with Jordan Elbridge, because Jeremiah Sparks has been an absolute beast for the Eagles.
Just have going.
About 10 touchdowns in three games for him as they started 2-1. A little bit tougher game, but nonetheless, GB might have the deepest, strongest team in Class C on the local sides.
Class D, it's Onondaga, Herkimer, Beaver River that have remained unbeaten so far. And think about it, in the first week of eight-man football, I want to talk about this, defending champion Bishop Grimes scored 62 points and New York Mills, and so there's no drop-off for the Cobras there. And a wild first game between South Louis and Pulaski had 70 points in the first quarters of Elkins with more than 500 rushing yards, eventually prevailed 72-50.
Yeah, I mean, back to the eight-man. The eight-man football is obviously spreading around, but it's weird because South Louis and Oriskany played last night, and it was 22-18, another eight-man game. Look at what a little win can do. I mean, a little win will not make a game. You're not going to have 120 points, maybe. But nonetheless, Bishop Grimes, they lost their quarterback from a year ago, Jordan Newman, and yet it seems like they haven't skipped a beat because so many of their skilled players are back for the eight-man, and it just seems like they have just mastered it. And Grimes plays this afternoon, and they're still the team to be on that side. Well, in Class D, I don't think Onondaga should take too much discouragement. Holland Patton's a very good Class C team. That's not a bad defeat, but nice starts from the likes of Herkimer, who we remember had some success in the last decade in football, but that was in Class C. Now they're trying to take care of Class D, the Magicians, and they're certainly one of the favorites.
At the outset of Section 3 girls soccer, there's four teams at or near the top of their respective state rankings. Poland is, in fact, at the top of the Class D. Lafargeville is number 5. Bishop Grimes has risen number 2 in Class C with Waterville. Beaver River, also state-ranked. Marcellus, 6-0, and it's number 2 in Class B. And Clinton is at number 6, just ahead of Central Valley and Adirondack. How about soccer here and girls in Section 3? It's incredible.
Oh, that much respect for the teams around here. Now, obviously, Poland and Marcellus have long and strong histories in terms of recent sectional and state titles. And Poland, with their firepower, they're still such a strong team. Marcellus, I'll tell you this. They struggled by their high standards last year, but this year they've roared out of the gate. They had tough wins this week, CBA in overtime 1-0, and then they beat CNS 1-0 game where they gave up like 40 shots, and yet Koloski made about 15 saves, stopped a penalty kick, and they pulled that thing out. Marcellus seems to have got that championship swagger back, and they're probably the Class B favorites again, almost as much as Baldwinsville is in Class AA with all the firepower they have with the trio of Nivelle, Mimas, and DeLola, who have just been sparkling all season long, and JD in Class A, so similar. JD's twice scored 10 or more goals in a game, and they have such depth with Kuzmanidis and Katanzarit and people like that. So,
do you want to talk AA quick and another three state?
Well, like I said, Baldwinsville, I mean, the closest teams to them might be CNS. CNS pushed Beeville hard on Tuesday. That was a 2-1 game that CNS had a lot of chances. They had one go off the post. They had other things. So they probably feel like they could keep up. And FM's going to get their shot at Beeville next week. We had them in the studio a couple of weeks ago. That's a team that's been off to a very solid start so far as well.
All right, nice job, Phil. They've already had 2 weeks of state rankings in boys soccer. And no one's doing better than Fabius Pompey, all the way up to number 2 in the state Class D rankings at 5-0, as Waterville is number 4 in Class C. Cooperstown is also in the top 10. Meanwhile, Class AA, Baldwinsville started out number 4 with a 6-0 start. That included 6 straight shutouts here in boys soccer. But then it lost to a 1-0 game to Liverpool, who moved up to number 8 ahead of the Warriors and the Bees, both facing FM. And that happened this week, so let's chat about that.
Liverpool suddenly is the Class AA team to beat, because in the last 8 days, all they've done is first they won over Beeville 1-0 after Beeville had not allowed a goal in their first 6 games. 2 nights later, no letdown. Go to CNS, a very solid CNS team. Beat them 2-0 on their field at Gillette. Then, Thursday night, go to Swan Pond against an FM team that had won 5 in a row. Shut them down. Get a late penalty from Justin Lombard. Win that game 1-0. And all of a sudden, Liverpool's at the top of the standings, and now they're the favorites, it seems, although they'll have to go through the round robin again with Baldwinsville, FM, CNS, and the like later in the regular season. So no one... And the games are so close usually between these teams that the separation still isn't big between those sides. And remember, the lone Beeville loss was to Liverpool, and they're still 7-1. So,
Class A race, we talked about that for a second, but Watertown ESM, New Hartford, All-State ranked here in boys soccer. West Hill, Class B champs, have struggled a bit out of the gate as Marcel's just outside the top 10 as well here in boys soccer.
But Class B's volatile. Just 1 week, West Hill is struggling. They lose to CBA. Then they go to Oneonta, win a couple of games, come back and win. Now they seem to be back in some form. Remember, they have a lot of players back from that state Final Four team. Then, you know, Marcellus, strong 1 week. Then Casnovia beats them 4-2 last night. The Lakers are an underrated team. Really solid on the offensive side. Spires and those types, and Pezzi and some of those players. And then you've got other teams that could factor as well. Skinny Atlas will host the Finger Lakes Cup next week. They seem to be a pretty solid side as usual. So Class B is still very much up in the air. In Class A, the top teams I don't think are separated by all that much. ESMS Kyle Scalzo, one of the best players in the area. But Watertown is a lot back from their championship team. PSLA Fowler, remember, played ESM 0-0 last week, and they're pretty solid as well.
All right, when Phil and I get back and towards the latter part of the show, actually, we'll start getting into cross country. We'll talk some girls volleyball. We'll talk a little field hockey, all coming up here on the program. But before we do that, Bishop Grimes girls soccer team will be here in studio, and then Fabius Pompey boys soccer, both ahead here on the Aflac Insurance Inside High School Sports Show, presented by SummitCars.com.
This is the Aflac Insurance Inside High School Sports Show, brought to you by SummitCars.com.
All right, here we are back on the program, and Phil, what's happening, buddy? Everything going well so far?
Oh, we got a lot going on, as always.
Billy Blackwell here in studio, like usual. So here's what we got. We got our Aflac Spotlight interview. Bishop Grimes girls soccer team, as he mentioned a season ago, the Bishop Grimes girls soccer team won all four games this year. The Cobras have already exceeded that total. In fact, it's won its first seven games and getting some notice here. Number two in the state rankings. And we've got in studio, first of all, Julia Gennad. What's up, Julia?
Hey, how are you?
Nice job. That sounded good. And Carrie Wilkinson. What's up, Carrie?
Hi, I'm good.
Nice, Carrie. So let's get right to it, girls. What can possibly explain going from four wins in 2017 to a 7-0 start this year with mostly the same players? Julia, let's go to you first.
Hi. Well, I think our team has come a long way since last season. We have 9 freshmen. Only 2 seniors, 4 captains, and we wouldn't be where we are today without our head coach, Jerry Perino, and our 2 assistants, Carly and Kyle.
Kyle, who are they?
Carly Bonzerato and Kyle Robinson. Carly actually played at Lemoyne.
Nice job. All right, well, Carrie, talk about the same thing. So talk about the team. What has changed? Talk about the coaching and this great start.
So our coaches are totally team-oriented. They really push us to do our best every day. And the 2 assistant coaches help me warm up goalie, so I'm especially close to them. And our team has come a long way since last year. We learn as we go through every game, and our team is a lot closer than we were last year. So a lot of learning has come from last year to this year.
Julie, you're one of just 3 seniors. How much better can this team still get in all areas of the game? What's that? Julia, did you hear that?
No.
Oh.
You're one of three seniors.
Yeah, one of three seniors. Yeah, yeah. Talk about, I mean, so, how good this team could be.
I think we have a big potential of going to sectionals, of winning a league title.
You're already in sectionals, by the way. You already have enough wins to qualify. Right. You're already there about that. You already got the playoff thing taken care of.
Yeah, hopefully we can take a sectional title. We're winning. We're on the top of our league right now.
Okay.
So I've been playing varsity since 8th grade, transferred to Grimes in 10th grade.
So why'd you transfer?
I transferred just for reasons. I love this school. Grimes has been a great transition move for me. And the soccer program, we have a good soccer program, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Good boys program, too, by the way. They're also state ranked, and they're also off to a fine start this season. I mean, yeah, Fabius Pompey did, and we'll talk to them in the studio with that, but they're still having a great season as well. I mean, the boys team also has moved up quite a bit in this. I mean, why do you think both Bishop Grimes programs have all of a sudden, you know, both of them are doing well?
Yes, and that helps Grimes, our athletic program, too. We have great coaches, great teammates. We're really close as a team, so that also helps. Yeah, I would agree. The girls and boys teams are definitely close, and we definitely support each other a lot in what we do. So,
in fact, you're heading to the 8-man football game later today. I'm sure of that, right?
Yeah.
Let's get to our SummitCars.com spotlight interview here. Kerry, let's go to you first. Talk about the defense, the fact 4 consecutive shutouts and how well it's working.
It's crazy. Our defense is really keeping us together. My main defender, Jada Adley, unfortunately couldn't be with us today, but she really pulls the defense together and helps me coordinate who's with who and who's marking. And, you know, she really helps us and helps me coordinate, you know, corner kicks and everything. She takes my goal kicks for me. You know, she's really great. She's a great
defender.
Who
else is on the defense that really has helped you there besides Jada?
In front of Jada is Laura Mario, and she helps so that Jada doesn't have to go up all the time. She kind of goes out where the ball is. And our 2 outside defenders, McKenna and Adu, they also always come in. They always know, you know, what to do.
Defense doesn't get enough credit ever in soccer, or for that matter, any sport. But I think in soccer, it's almost so important because you keep them from scoring, and the game's a lot easier.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how are you communicating? Like goalie, we all know goalies communicate a lot with these guys. What are you yelling at them? What are you telling them?
I mean, usually I'm telling them to not kick it towards the center of the field just because I'd rather have it go out wide. Usually telling them to get up, try and call them off sides. Telling them to try and get a touch on my punt for as well as the punt is.
And which coaches are really working on defense the most? Which are your assistants there?
I would say both. You know, both of Kyle and Carly really help. Our defense, because our defense is pretty new. They've never played those positions before. They did a little bit in the last season, but for the most part, our defense is pretty new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what makes those shutouts more impressive, is that it is a new unit. Usually, and with a young team, it usually takes a while to develop a unit more on defense than the attack. I mean, you always can find skill players. I mean, they all want to be skill players, but the defense is a lot more difficult to build and maintain.
I agree.
Yeah, it also helps having a strong midfield. Mm-hmm. We have Jenna Sloan and Ronnie Shea Powell, and they're good athletes, very, very strong, and it helps because whenever on when we have the ball on the offensive side, if we lose it, they're there to back us up, and then they also help the defense. So
yeah, and let's not forget about Abby Tweedell. She plays every position on the field.
Yeah,
every position she's there.
Guys, talk about your coach. Talk about Jerry Pirano and the job that he has done. And I guess, Kerry, you can take that first.
Yeah, he is definitely a really good coach. He is definitely a player's coach. He always puts our concerns first. It's always what we care about, how we feel about it. You know, if he ever has to change up a defense, he always asks if it's okay with us first. he's a great guy.
Smart guy.
Love Coach Pirano.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Bishop Grimes girls soccer team. We'll be back with the Bishop Grimes girls soccer team in just a minute.
This is the Aflac Insurance Inside High School Sports Show.
Brought to you by SummitCars.com. All right, let's get it to it, girls. So we were talking about a couple different things here, first of all, but Bishop Grimes girls soccer team and Julie Gannad as well as Kerry Wilkinson both in studio. Well, I guess when you found out that you had the number 2 state ranking, pretty incredible, especially after a season ago, Julia, to have that and have that at the school.
Yeah, definitely. Coming from last year not being state ranked at all, and then this year being a senior, seeing that we're number 2 is really incredible, and I think it's a good way to end my high school career.
Oh, yeah.
And we wouldn't be here without the support of our parents, the school, and obviously coaches, so.
Yeah. Kerry, how about the same thing? I mean, you go from very few wins to number 2 in the state rankings.
Yeah, as a captain, I'm so proud of our team. We've really come together this year, especially more than last year. You know, as last year, we were pretty much the same team except one senior, but a lot of freshmen came up and their contribute to the team has been crazy. And, you know, as a captain, I'm really proud of how much we've come together this year.
In some ways, was getting beat by Lafayette, I guess, the best thing possible for you to get focused since you face them again next week, plus MPH and Bishop Ludden. Let's talk about those games. And Julie, answer that first. So first of all, talk about that.
Well, the Lafayette game, we came in knowing that they were going to be a good competition, a good team to play against. Our first half, we were just off. We weren't playing to our ability. But then the second half, me and Ronnie Shea Powell ended up scoring two goals. So it was 3-2. And so the last 10 minutes of the game were really intense, hoping to tie up the game. But then the last, I think, 3 minutes, Lafayette scored again. But this game, you know, we build off of it. We can take positives from it, just not negatives, as our coach JP was telling us at the end of the game.
Yeah. Carrie, talk about MPH Bishop Ludden.
MPH, we play Monday, and we played them a few weeks ago. We won in overtime, 1-0. Ronnie Shea Pale scored a goal in overtime. They're a great competition for us. We definitely, if we play our best game, we can definitely beat them again. You know, we, as a team, when we come together, we're good. We know what we're doing together as a team.
In some ways, I guess, is anything that now happens a bonus given how much you've already turned things around and that you are, in fact, in the playoffs? Julia?
Yeah. It's just a great experience to be a part of a team so like this.
Phil, go ahead.
When you've got so many young players, freshmen, you mentioned that, like 9 on the team.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you can't really, you know, they've got to become contributors and good teammates right away. How, as the older players, do you mentor them? How do you fit them into the program? You got so many of them. How to make sure that they feel like they're welcome and all that? Mm-hmm. Because that can be tough for younger girls.
Yeah, I can agree. Yeah, the captains have been really helpful towards the younger kids. But I give credit to the freshmen. You know, they came on a team with a lot of them, and they've stepped up so much, and they learn so quick, and they're really great. Good attitudes, too.
Oh, that's the thing. Attitude can be as well. But looking at the rest of the regular season, what do you think you still need to improve the most in order to go from being a really good team that you are now to maybe someone that can make a championship run come playoff time?
I think as long as we stay together and work together and work on, not getting offsides calls. Because we had just about 5 of those. But no, as long as we stay together and, you know, we are truly a family, we are truly sisters, as long as we stay together and stick together, we should.
Part of what helps, I think, too, is that your offense, on the offense, you're not leaning on one player to get the goals. You've got balanced score. I think Ronnie's the lead scorer, but she only got like 5 or 6 goals. I mean, pretty balanced in your attack in that all kinds of different players are contributing.
Everyone contributes. Definitely everyone contributes.
Especially Carrie in goal. When the ball passes past Jada, that's happened a couple times. It's, you know, one-on-one with the goalie, Carrie, and she's had some incredible saves that have helped us move forward this season.
Mm. And of all the opponents left in the regular season, are there any ones you're looking forward to the most, saying, all right, I want to beat this team?
Definitely Lafayette.
Because you're going to play them again, you know?
Definitely Lafayette, and MPH, I want to beat them in regular time, not overtime.
Now, one of the things is you played Bishop Grimes or Bishop Ludden during the season too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now, in lacrosse, if I'm not mistaken, you two share a team.
Yeah. Ronnie Shea Pale plays lacrosse with them.
Yeah. So how unique are those games? Are they almost more intense because in some ways you're teammates at time in the spring?
I would say for Ronnie Shea, I think she likes it. And, she's very good at lacrosse. And also Abby Tweedale plays with them as well. And I think they're friends off the field. But then once it gets game time during soccer, they're definitely rivals.
Yeah, one team's wearing blue and the other's wearing green. That's not going to mix. You know what I mean?
No.
So now, what are the things you do to bond, things you do off the field? Mike loves this, by the way, the whole idea of bonding. What do you do in terms of off the field bonding things?
Team bonding.
Dinners.
That sort of thing.
Pizza parties.
Pizza parties, I think.
So yesterday we had a pizza party, thanks to our coach.
After school.
Yes.
And after the Cato game, the first time we played them?
Yes.
I think it was the first time we played them. I live in Cato, so we had a team party after.
That's about, when do you wake up? You live in Cato, so when do you wake up in the morning to get to school?
it depends on what day it is. Usually Mondays, it's a little later, but once I get in my swing. Routine, it's about 6:30.
Oh, I thought it'd be like way early. And I'm like,
Both my parents work in the city, so
it's kind of
convenient that
drive in,
get dropped off. Yep.
All right, quick shout outs. Julia, who to give a shout out to?
I give a shout out to my parents for supporting me. I give a shout out to obviously my coach JP. We wouldn't be where we are right now without him. Also to my grandparents because they come to every game, and that's That's it.
All right, Carrie, shout out. Who do you want to go to?
My parents, my loving parents. My brother, he's a ball boy at every home game.
Nice.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy. My sister, she's the most supporting person. You always hear her in the crowd. Definitely all my extended family. They try and make as much as they can. And my other two captains, for sure. They're really, I love my captains. And the team and my coaches, of course, especially, well, all three of them. The two assistant coaches do warm me up in the games, so I'm especially appreciative for that.
All right, Bishop Grimes, girls soccer. Give yourselves a big round of applause, girls. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Our Simon Carr spotlight interview next. Fabius Pompey, boys soccer.
This is the Aflac Insurance Inside High School Sports Show, brought to you by SummitCars.com.
All right, back on it, and a great show so far for you. So thanks for hanging out with us here on the Aflac Insurance Inside High School Sports Show. Tradition of winning soccer, Fabius Pompey. I keep saying FM because they had 24, and Fabius Pompey has 16. So I think I've done it twice here. So let's talk about the deep one and the fact that this team's 16. 8-0 start, number 2, 9-0 now. Sorry, I got to fix that. 9-0 start, number 2 in the state Class D rankings. And Matt Nooner and their team has joined us. So, Coach, what's going on? How are you?
Doing great, Mike. How are you?
It's good to have you here in studio. And you brought Kiwan Troutman. What's up, Kiwan?
Nothing much, just chill.
Nice. Jameson Andrews. What's up, Jameson?
How much? How you doing?
Doing well, thanks, pal. Dylan Fredenberg. What's up, Dylan?
Nothing. How you doing?
Good work. Evan Wagner. What's up, Evan?
Nothing. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Coach, let's get right to you. And we were just talking here before the show, but let's talk about what's coming up. Talk about the next games, tourneys, all the good stuff that you got happening here.
Yeah, so we have a three-game week coming up. We play Cato Meridian on Tuesday. We have Ludden Thursday night. And then a big Communities Kicking Cancer game Saturday against Tully.
Let's talk about, all through this fast start, why has this offense clicked so well, averaging, what, better than 4 goals per game? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about your offense.
We have a junior and senior-laden team. You know, boys that have done a lot of training outside of the traditional season.
Yeah.
And as a result, they have a wonderful chemistry with each other. Very unselfish play, you know, using opportunities to set up each other frequently.
Our here we go, our SummitCars.com spotlight interview, Fabius Pompey. Kiwan, let's go to you here for a second. 17 goals in the first half of the regular season. What makes you such an effective finisher?
I wish I can tell you. Honestly, I don't know. I've been getting a lot of help from the defense, putting those balls up for me to run on to. A lot of times I've got to anticipate defense missing those balls. I get a clear chance to run on. Working on my critical finishing with Yarrow on Sundays actually really helped me throughout this season. Jamie's been doing a good job sending me those through balls, giving me a chance to put in those goals, even raking up his assists, coming up to be number one in Section 3 for assists.
Are you pointing that guy out? Nice.
I like that.
Jameson, let's talk about it. So setting him up, doing your thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Kiwan, he's faster than any kid you're ever going to see on a defensive line. So it's really easy. All you have to do is find that
ball and let him go.
Yeah, yeah, find that little pocket behind the back line, and he'll run onto it, and he'll put it away.
Nice. And, Dylan, let's bounce to you here for a second. Talk about this team and how happy you are.
I mean, I'm pretty happy with them. Kiwan and Jamie, they work really good together. Kiwan's speed and Jamie's skill, there's nothing really you can match that with if you're on defense.
Very cool. Evan, let's bounce to you here for a second. And overall, talk about the fact that you guys, 16 sectional titles, number 2 in the state Class D rankings. Talk about that.
Yeah, we have a really good work ethic. And, you know, I see Kiwan every day putting in work, and his hard work really boosts the rest of the team morale. And we really just like to be a team and work hard because we play for that name on our chest, and that means the world to us.
Matt, talk about some of the defenses that Kiwan has seen and what they've tried to do to kind of contain him.
A perfect example would be last night when we played against Faith Heritage. They put a 5-man back line against us.
Okay.
You know, we were lucky enough to...
Meaning your stopper, sweeper, and then your wings?
They basically played a double sweeper and then a 3-man line even in front of them. So Kiwan broke through about 4 minutes into the game. His keeper, sent a great punt over the top that Kiwan ran onto. But it took a little while for us to break down that team. So, we've seen situations like that. We've seen situations where teams have tried to man mark him. One of the reasons for Kiwan's success has been just the overall strength of our entire team.
Right.
Teams that try to key just on Kiwan, they are often going to be burned, whether it be by Jamie or Eric or Oseas or our outside middies, because they're so talented as well.
Jamie, let's go to you. Of all the wins, I guess, you've seen so far, which of them was your best around performance, do you feel? Was it the game against Bishop Grimes, or what would you say?
It would definitely have to be the game against Bishop Grimes. I mean, we came in knowing that they were going to be our biggest competition probably in the league this year. They were ranked, I think, 12th or 7th in the state for Class C. It was somewhere around that. And we knew that they were going to be a talented team, and we came out running, put two on them early, and then just held them off for the rest of the game.
Dylan, how about you? Let's go to the fact that, I don't know how many people know of the winning tradition at Fabius Pompey, what the Falcons program is all about. Talk a little bit about that.
The Falcon program, it's very centered around hard work. Every practice we go on, we put in 100% best we can. All year round, we do indoor leagues, summer league, then we got regular season. And like Kiwan was saying earlier, we got a great opportunity to do a clinic on Sundays with Yarrow.
Oh, that's great, right? We work on skill set stuff? Yeah, a lot of skill stuff.
And a lot of finishing, offensive stuff.
All right, we'll be right back. We're talking with the members of the Fabius Pompey boys soccer team right here on the Aflac Insurance Inside High School Sports Show, presented by SummitCars.com.
This is the Aflac Insurance Inside High School Sports Show.
All right, here we are back on it, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Fabius Pompey boys soccer team here in studio. Mike Bristol, Eagle Newspapers, Phil Blackwell. And let's talk about the competition, I guess, in the small school soccer. Coach, let's go to you here for a minute. Even more keen because the teams have, they've got great athletes. You've got skill set guys. You've got guys that are playing year-round. Talk about these smaller schools and the skill sets and everything.
One of the big differences that we see, especially now that we're a Class D school, is that when we go up against teams that are the same size, schools the same size as us, you're getting the best athletes from that school. Some of the bigger schools, those athletes get distributed amongst cross-country football and soccer. So that's a major challenge for us. That's why programs like Cincinnatus, Lyme, Poland, McGraw, certainly many others in the Class D are as strong and as big of a challenge as they are.
When you look at the competition, the other schools here, and who you're facing and going up against these teams, you spend a lot of time watching film, you spend a lot of time going out, you sit down with the kids. Talk about the whole scouting process.
Thankfully, I have a couple of very dedicated assistant coaches, Coach Josh Virgil and Coach Corey Smith. And when I can't get out to watch a match, they're very willing to go out and see other teams play that we might not play actually in our league. And at the same time, too, we try to, at the very least, videotape all of our home games. Get them onto the system that tags out all the different plays and stuff like that, so that we can, use these video sessions to be efficient, but also teachable moments as well.
All right, so let's look at this, guys. Let's go real quick. First of all, Kiwan, let's bounce to you. When you look at the opponents that you're facing, especially in the next few weeks, who's going to be most difficult? Who's going to be coming after you? What do you think is going to happen here?
I'm actually most recently looking forward to that Bishop Ludden and Tully game, to tell you the truth, because Bishop Ludden's been a good school to play against for as long as I've been on varsity. I've been on varsity for about 3 years now. And each time I played them, I don't think we've won a game. We've tied one and we've lost one, sadly enough. But those guys are really good. They've had a good program for going into these games, and I'm really hoping we can show them what we got this year.
What are your thoughts for college for you?
My thoughts are a little off because I'm not sure where I want to go yet. I know I want to go for law enforcement, but I'm stuck between what schools I want to attend because my parents want me close.
Right.
And I got to find a school within that good range for them, too.
All right. Jamie, how about you? Opponent, who do you want to face? You know, who's coming after you guys? What do you want to do?
I'm really excited for that Tully game on Saturday. It's a big kicking cancer game. Tons of supporters come out. It's really fun to play, and this will be my third time playing in it. And I also have a lot of friends from Tully team. I know the Tully coach, Coach Donald, very well. And it's a rivalry game. They're always going to bring it. It's always going to be a battle.
All right. I like that. And Dylan, same question to you.
I'm also looking forward to a Tully game. Looking for that four-peat on the cup. Tully always brings it to us every year. It's always a good game. I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, Evan, how about you, pal?
Again, definitely the Tully game. I haven't played in the Tully game on varsity yet, and I'm really looking to give everything I got for these guys that have been playing in it for years. It's really going to be a good game, and you know the competition is always different. You see a completely different game when you get to that cancer game than you do in the regular season. They just bring a whole new level of intensity, and we definitely have to match it just to show them what we got and keep our streak going.
All right, let's do some shout-outs. Kiwan, who do you want to give a shout-out to?
I'd love to give a shout-out to my friends and family, mostly my family, for bringing me up, being me the person I need to be right now, giving me the chance to have this opportunity to play soccer, to show what I've got for them. Is very important to me.
Jamie, how about you, pal?
Definitely my family. They come out and support me every game. They're always there cheering me on. And also the entire team. They're the reason that we've all gotten this far, and I hope that we can keep working and make it even farther.
All right, Dylan?
My coaches, my team, my friends, family, and Shawnee T for dishing out the high-quality protein.
Evan, how about you? I don't know what that is. Go ahead, Ev.
Definitely my parents, my dad, my mom, my grandma, my grandpa. My grandma and grandpa come to every game and support me. My mom and dad, they definitely are my biggest fans. That's really my big supporters there.
All right. Coach, how about you, pal?
Got to definitely give the shout-out to my wife, Amy. I wouldn't be able to do the coaching that I do without her. My three boys, certainly Coach Corey and Coach Josh, but also our community. These boys wouldn't be where they are without a great rec program, great family support. So big shout out to everybody.
No question. Famous Pompey Boys Soccer, give yourselves a big round of applause.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys, for coming in studio, and we'll see you later. Phil Blackwell, where are you headed, buddy? Somewheres.
Right.
Messina's
playing
right
FM
now.
At noon, so that's a pretty big game. And by the way, Liverpool won football 27-7 over CBA, so they've won two straight after an 0-2 start. Big game with Corcoran yet down the road in Class A A1 football, but FM and CNS this afternoon at noon.
All right, we're out here. See you next week.